Well, hello and welcome back to the Cultivate Podcast. I am Kelly Minter, and I am so glad that you are joining me. We are in the middle of a super practical series called Putting on the Character of Christ, and we are really just kind of camping in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, where Paul talks about the reality that those who are in Christ are chosen by him, set apart, and dearly loved. And as a result, we get to wear these virtues of Christ as not something that we do to earn God's favor or to earn salvation, but because of who we already are in Christ. What I am loving about this particular series is that it is so practical because it is all about relationships. As we make our way through Colossians 3, 12 through 15, we'll see that Paul tells us to put on compassion and goodness, humility, gentleness, patience. He tells us to forgive one another, to be thankful, to love one another. All of this has to do with other people. There's absolutely not, there's no virtue listed here that has to do with just our own selves. And so if you have come and you're in a place where you're just really struggling with some of these, you know, you find yourself lashing out in pride or arrogance, or maybe instead of being patient, you're quick to be critical or angry. Instead of perhaps compassion, you're judgmental. I mean, we all deal with these things, right? As I'm saying these things, I'm thinking, okay, yes, I have been there so many times. But what's so great is that we have the opportunity in this series to dig in and to really kind of unpack each of these virtues in a little bit more definitive way. So if you happen to be joining us for the very first time, I would love for you to go back and start with episode 22. That's the top of this series. And the reason I say that is because at the very beginning of Colossians 3:12, Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen, holy, and dearly loved people, put on these virtues." And I used to just kind of skip that part and go straight to the virtues that I, you know, needed to work on. But I realized that I needed to really sit with the reality, this reality that Paul highlights for us, that we get to wear the virtues because we have been chosen in Christ and we have been set apart or made holy, as well as the fact that we are dearly loved. And if we can live the virtues from that place, it changes everything. I've said this in the previous two episodes that I used to kind of have this all backwards. I thought that if I could wear the virtues, if I could implement the virtues, then I would be chosen holy and dearly loved by God. Then I would earn his favor. But it's actually the opposite. As believers in Jesus Christ, this is already true of us. And then we get to live from a place of security. That's what I think being chosen helps us live from. When he says that we are set apart, we get to live from a place of calling because we're set apart for something. And when he says we are dearly loved, we get to live from a place of belonging. And when we get to really understand that, it really changes the way that we view the virtues. So I would really encourage you to go back and start in episode 22 or with episode 22. Then episode 23, we cover the first two virtues that Paul talks about, which are compassion and kindness or goodness. And today, I know you're so excited, drum roll here, we are going to be looking at the virtues of humility and meekness or gentleness, and some of the more difficult ones. If you're anything like me, sometimes it's really hard to be humble and to also be meek, which we're going to unpack that word, and it's really awesome what it means. So all that said is I'm super glad that you're here today. Because I'm home and not traveling this weekend, I think my big Friday night plans are I am going to a middle school fair. So a middle school fair for my nephew and with my nieces. And I never knew that this would be the Friday night dream, but hey, I am ready for it. And I don't know if I've told you guys this or not, but I'm kind of in this new season of not traveling as much. I have also been making bread and grinding wheat. Like I bought a mill. My dad has one and my brother has one, and I've been grinding up the wheat and making bread, and it's been just a really fun little hobby. So Anyway, if you are super bored on a Friday night, you can find me at the middle school fair and making bread. That is how exciting things are right now for me. Anyway, all right, listen, I just want to tell you I'm glad you're here. And we are going to jump into these virtues, which are all about relationships. And I hope that these will be really encouraging for you, because I'm just going to say that the people that I've known who have literally embodied these virtues, which is really just embodying the very person of Christ, they are otherworldly. I mean, they really are. There's just no other way to explain it. They just live in a different realm, and it is so attractive, and it's so peaceful and beautiful. And so that's what we want to really look at today. So I'm going to read from Colossians 3. I'm going to read our key verses, and then we're going to unpack these two virtues. So just as a reminder, Paul says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful." So let's talk about this virtue of humility. This is one of those virtues that I think is really tricky, because it's very hard to come by in our culture. It's not really one of the virtues that is naturally esteemed in our culture. Whereas maybe we could say kindness or gentleness or patience, just the average person can get behind. But humility is not something that we tend to embrace. And actually, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, it's really interesting to note that the Greek world at that time really abhorred the quality of gentleness and humility. So that was not something that the culture of the day valued or treasured or saw as something to really be embodied. But the Christian community believed that these qualities of humility and meekness were essential to the body of Christ. But this is a difficult one, because it just doesn't come natural to humble ourselves. But let's just unpack the word first before we get into some of the other scriptures that will define this for us. Well, first of all, humility is, it's very kind of simply put, being free from arrogance and pride. So that might not be surprising to any of us, being free from arrogance and pride. I also think it means to understand who we are before Almighty God. So we are absolutely loved before God, but also before a holy God. We are selfish. We are sinners. We have nothing apart from Him. So when we begin to understand ourselves in that way, humility will be a natural posture when we understand ourselves in light of God. But also, humility doesn't look down on other people. So if you find yourself, you know, kind of snobby, looking down on people, that is not a characteristic of humility. But I also love this, and that humility is not overly concerned with personal status or prestige. So if you're constantly thinking about your own status and how people are perceiving you, and, you know, wanting to be the greatest and the most seen and the most notable and the one who's always right, those are not going to be characteristics of humility. So humility isn't, in some ways, it's like a self-forgetfulness, but in the best way, because we are more preoccupied with the renown of Christ and we are preoccupied with the good of other people. So it's actually a really freeing way to live when we can live with humility. So let's talk about a passage in Philippians chapter 2, because this is where we're going to see Jesus display tremendous humility and really the ultimate expression of humility. Okay, I want to read Philippians 2, verses 3 through 7. Paul writes this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity." All right. So let's talk about this idea where Paul says, don't do anything out of your own selfish ambition or conceit, but in the spirit of humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. It doesn't mean that people are more important. It means that we are living in a way that we esteem them as though they are more important, which is a blessing and a gift to others. You know, I think about how people have done that for me. When I sit down with someone, in fact, I was at coffee with someone yesterday, my friend, Chris, and he said, hey, listen, when we were all together the other night, I didn't have the opportunity to ask you, how are you doing? Now, you know, maybe when Chris and I showed up for this coffee meeting yesterday, maybe Chris wanted somebody to ask him that question. Maybe he had a lot going on, and maybe he really needed to vent or needed to talk. But you know what? He considered me as more important. And he said, hey, Kelly, I want to hear from you. I want to know how you are. I mean, that is so awesome when we do that for other people. And it means so much when people do it for us. So he says, in humility, look to others, the interest of others. And then he says, adopt the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we say over and over throughout this series, is that Paul does not ask us to put on anything that Jesus Christ is not. And so Paul is saying, do you understand that Jesus Christ did not consider equality with God in heaven, all that he had in heaven, as something that he had to hang on to, but instead he was able to release that in order to be a servant? And oftentimes, when I am having a hard time being humble, it's because I'm grasping on to a position, or I'm grasping on to my rights, or my own prestige, or my own status, or my own way, and I'm holding on to it, and that is what is getting in the way of me showing humility. You know, I had the opportunity to do an event the other day recently. It's called Lifeway Women Live, and it's a lot of just wonderful Bible teachers and authors and speakers getting together for these events. And it's really easy in an environment like that to feel like you have to give the best message or be the best known or the most well-received. And it's been so freeing over the years as the Lord has just worked with me in this area of humility and just changed my framework, that when I approach events like that or settings like that where there are lots of people that do the same thing that I do, that I go in thinking, okay, who can I esteem? How can I be self-forgetful? How can I come in and serve the people that I'm speaking to and really just come in and stay in a posture of humility? And that has been something that the Lord has worked with me on. And it's been so freeing when I can go in and say, okay, Lord, I'm here not to be lifted up. I'm here to be a servant. I'm here to serve the people that I'm speaking to, and I'm here to serve the people who are putting on the event, and I'm here to encourage and bless the other speakers and the other teachers. And that is just something that the Lord has worked with me on, because it just doesn't come natural to me, because there were so many times in years past where I was grasping on to needing to give kind of this really powerful message, or, you know, needing to be eloquent, needing to be funny, needing to be all of these things so that people would like me. But the Lord has really worked with me in these areas and just said, okay, Kelly, why are you grasping that? Can you let go of those things? And instead, can you humble yourself, and can you consider others as more important? And so what I've learned over the years is that showing humility has so much to do with our worldview, okay? It has everything to do with our worldview. Let me explain what I mean. If we believe, like culture so often asserts, if we believe that being the best, being right, being the most popular, being the most beautiful, being the most esteemed and exalted in front of other people, being among the elite or the most wealthy, if we believe that all of these things are what matter the most in life, then humility is going to be impossible. It's going to be undesirable. It's going to be unattractive. There will be nothing that will draw us. In fact, not only will we not be drawn to humility, it will stand in opposition to everything that we are living for. However, if we believe the biblical perspective on humility, if we believe that God lifts up the humble, that the last shall be first, that there is great joy and reward in living for Christ's renown instead of our own, humility will be a quality that we just naturally embody. And that changes everything for us. So let's even just, I want to briefly mention a few passages in Scripture that talk about humility, because I think this will help frame our worldview. In Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2, Isaiah writes that God looks favorably on the humble, or he esteems the humble. So you might be thinking, oh my goodness, if I show humility here, I'm just going to be like the scum of the earth. No, God looks favorably on that. He esteems those who are humble. In the New Testament, 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4, Peter says that the humble person is valuable in God's eyes. Again, culture is going to tell us that if we humble ourselves and if we choose humility and if we think about others over ourselves, we're just going to get trampled. Our life is going to be miserable. It's going to be awful. And Peter says, oh no, that person, valuable in God's eyes. And I also like 1 Peter 5, 5, where he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I mean, if that doesn't change your worldview on humility, this is just, to me, it's so encouraging. And so I want to just give us a point today here. This is number one, that if seeking the renown of Christ and the good of others is our delight, humility will come as naturally to us as breathing. Okay, let me say that one again. If seeking the renown of Christ and the good of others is our delight, humility will come as naturally to us as breathing. And that has to do with our worldview. Do we have a cultural worldview on humility, or do we have a biblical worldview on it? And again, this is something that the Lord has just worked with me on over the years, because I was so preoccupied with myself for so long. And let's make no mistake, I know that there are lots of times where that is still the case, but it is less the case. And I'm so thankful when I have the opportunity and when it's really just a delight and a joy to bring glory to Christ and to esteem others. It's just a much, much more freeing way to live. So we can show humility. Listen, we can show it in our workplace, in our home, with our friendships, and we can show it on social media too. I think there's a real lack of humility, especially on social media. So when you think about those places that you're at, when you think about your relationships, when you think about what you're posting, put it through the grid of having a heart of humility. And think about tangible ways that we can encourage and esteem others instead of always trying to put ourselves at the top. I love what the Easton's Bible Dictionary is quoted as saying. The author says, it is a great paradox in Christianity that it makes humility the avenue to glory. Isn't that true? It is just such a paradox that humility is the avenue to glory, but that is what we see over and over and over again, and we especially see it in the life of Christ. Okay, so the next virtue we're going to look at today is not just humility, but then Paul also says for us to put on gentleness. Some of your translations will say meekness. And this is a difficult Greek word because we just don't have a great English translation. You know, gentleness isn't quite right. Meekness sort of has a little bit of a negative connotation for us. We think of it as being like weakness, partly probably because it rhymes. It's almost the same word. But one of the ways I like to think of meekness or gentleness is strength under control. You know, think about a horse race. Think about the Kentucky Derby or something. I mean, I know it's so funny. There's all that like pomp and circumstance and the whole thing's over in like less than 90 seconds. But think about a horse and all of its power. I mean, a horse is so powerful and so much stronger than the jockey that is riding the horse. But the horse has all of that strength, all of that power. And yet the ones that win those types of races are ones where the power is under control, when the horse's strength is under control of the jockey and it is intentional, it is heading in a specific direction for a specific purpose. And I think meekness and gentleness in biblical terms has a lot to do with strength under control, especially in the New Testament. It is very much in contrast with harshness or proud vindicating of ourselves. In the Old Testament, a lot of times it had to do it with, or it referred to the righteous who were in a place of suffering. And it can definitely still mean that in the New Testament. But we're going to see in just a minute several examples of people who are caught in sin or who are struggling. And in the New Testament, we see the instruction that the believers who are going to help those brothers or sisters who are struggling need to come in this position of gentleness or meekness. So we're going to try to get a good working definition based on looking at multiple passages. But I also want to quote W.E. Vines, because I think this will help as well. He says, "The common assumption is that when a person is meek, it is because he or she cannot help themselves. But the Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command." What is W.E. Vines saying? He's saying that when Christ was on the cross, he had the infinite resources of God at his command to punish those who had put him there, to react, to even get himself off of the cross. But with those infinite resources, he still chose to suffer and die because he was under the control of God the Father. So I think that that will really help us as we think about this idea of gentleness or meekness. And if you were to ask me, and not that we need to have a favorite, but if you were to say, "Hey, Kelly, what's your favorite virtue of all of these that Paul lists?" This is the one. Meekness is the one, because it's the most, in my mind, it's the most nuanced, it's the most difficult to define. And yet when you run up against people who have exhibited meekness in their lives, this incredible strength under the control of the Holy Spirit, it is so powerful. So this is number two for us today. And we're just going to have 1 point per virtue. So this is number two for meekness. It takes more strength to exhibit meekness than it does anger, criticism, or revenge. It takes more strength to exhibit meekness than it does anger, criticism, or revenge. So I think that's one of the reasons why I just love this virtue so much. Plus, it kind of embodies some of the other virtues. Like, it absolutely embodies humility, and it embodies patience. It's kind of a lot of these virtues sort of rolled up into one. Okay, so let's look at a few examples in the New Testament of where we're told to use this virtue. Okay, Galatians 6:1, Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit," or a meek spirit, "watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted." All right, what is Paul writing here? He's saying, look, every single one of us as human beings, we have the vulnerability, or we are vulnerable to be tempted, just like in the way that the person that we are trying to help is overcome in a fault or has been tempted. And so he's like basically saying, first of all, remember your own humanity. Remember your own tendency to sin. And when you go to help someone who's overtaken in a sin or just in their own foolishness, he says, restore that person with meekness. And again, that is with that great strength, but under control. It has to do with humility. It has to do with gentleness. And again, this doesn't mean weakness. I think something that's interesting about this word is sometimes it will mean speaking when we're afraid to speak. Other times it will be holding our tongues when we know we have the right to speak. It all has to do with the Holy Spirit's leading and a proper heart toward other people. So often we want to just vindicate ourselves, or we want to, you know, tell people why they're wrong and criticize. But gentleness, or this idea of meekness, really has the other person's best interest in mind. And it doesn't mean that we won't have to say the hard truth. It doesn't mean that we won't confront, but we'll do it with a heart that loves the other person more than we love being right. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 25, Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle," or meek, "to everyone. And listen to this, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with meekness. Isn't that interesting? And then he says, perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, Paul tells Timothy, hey, by the way, if you're a servant of the Lord, you're not going to fight like in your own human nature against human nature. You're not going to go tit for tat. You know, if this person says this, you're not going to just try to get even. He says, you are going to teach and be patient in a way that is out of a place of this meekness. You're not going to create enemies this way, because it's possible that God may actually lead this person to repentance. And so it's again about serving others. And then I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, when we're sharing about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have, we're not trying to just argue people or arm wrestle them into a relationship with Christ. We're going to do it with meekness. Arguments and confrontations don't win people to the faith. Love does. Humility does. Truth does, spoken in love and in kindness. You know, I was thinking just in my own life, what does this look like? And I was in a conversation with someone recently who was kind of helping me through a difficult situation, just someone who had wounded some close friends of mine. And I was mad. I mean, I was really frustrated, and rightly so. I mean, this situation was really difficult. My friends had not done anything to deserve what this person had done. And it was interesting because I was waiting for this person that I was talking to say, oh yeah, you're right. That person who wounded your friends, they shouldn't have done that, and they shouldn't have done this. And my goodness, I can't believe they did that. But instead, you know what this person did? He said, hey, Kelly, have you repented of the ways that maybe you have contributed to this? Is your heart truly sensitive and tender toward the Lord? Are you looking at this person who has hurt friends of yours? Are you looking at them with compassion? And immediately I thought, oh, come on. We're going to get past. I mean, we got to get past that. I mean, surely you're not going to go there with me, right? And it was so interesting because this person had such a meek spirit, kind but strong, and really just kind of wouldn't let me off the hook of, hey, I don't think that you're loving this person in a full way yet. I think there's still some areas where you're not really thinking about the person as much as you're thinking about being right or thinking about wanting to vindicate these people you love. And it was just a great reminder. I mean, it really was. It pinged me at first, honestly. But then I thought, no, that's right. That's right. And I'm not really caring for the person who is the offender here. Instead, I just kind of want to point out their wrongs. And again, being meek doesn't mean we shove wrongs under the table, not at all, or under the rug. We don't deny it. We have to handle those things. But it's all about our spirit. And it's all about, is this coming from a place of love? And then, of course, we have that beautiful verse where Jesus actually speaks about himself in Matthew 11, verse 29. And he says, take up my yoke. A yoke was something that would connect like two oxen together so that they would walk in step with one another. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am meek and humble. Jesus really combines these virtues in the most beautiful way. So the question for us today is, how do we cultivate this in our lives? And I will tell you, it will be unlikely if you are able to get through the rest of your day without having an opportunity to show humility and to show meekness in a very specific, tangible area of your life. What I would do is, as you consider how to cultivate this in your life, first of all, I would always go back to how has Jesus Christ reflected these virtues. And we looked at a couple passages today. We looked in Philippians chapter 2, and we also just referenced Matthew 11, verse 29, where Jesus really embodies humility and meekness. I would also go and reflect on some of those passages that we read about today. Those will all be in the show notes. And I would ask, like, what environment is it most difficult for you to be humble in? And as you ask yourself that, think, what is it that I'm grasping onto? What am I still trying to hold onto that's preventing me from showing humility? And then I would think of a way that you can specifically exalt and esteem other people, how you can encourage them and treat them in such a way where they are blessed. And that will lead to a very freeing self-forgetfulness. When it comes to meekness, is your strength or your power under the control of the Holy Spirit? Have you worked through your own repentance before the Lord? And are you truly about the good of the other person, or are you only thinking about being right? Those are some questions that will help us cultivate the virtues of humility and meekness in our lives. I have loved just reflecting and pondering on these virtues with you today because, again, they are so practical. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what our world would look like if Christ followers lived from a place of humility and lived from a place of gentleness? I think so much of our relationships would change and so much of our world would change as a result. So we are going to be next week looking at patience and forgiveness. So I hope that you will join me there for those next two virtues. If you don't want to miss an episode and sometimes you forget about the Cultivate podcast, go on over to accessmore.com and subscribe. That way you're not going to miss an episode, or just subscribe wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Also, if you have been enjoying this podcast and it's been encouraging, I would invite you to share it with a friend and leave a review where you listen to podcasts. And that will just help other people find this particular podcast. Also, you can go to kellymentor.com/podcast, where you will see today's show notes and you can find the scripture passages, the major points, and prompts for how to cultivate this in your own life. I'm also really excited, just a reminder that if you go to kellymentor.com to the store right now for 25% off, you can grab a copy of The Fitting Room, which is all about putting on the character of Christ. All you have to do is just in the place where it says code, just type in cultivate the virtues. Cultivate the virtues, and that'll give you 25% off that book if that would be at all helpful for you. I have loved being with you today. I cannot wait to meet you for next week's episode as we look at patience and forgiveness. I will see you then.